Well, let's pray once more as we prepare our hearts for the word. Father, I just thank you for your word. I know that is always what we need. I pray, Father, that you help me tonight, Lord, to say what you'd have me to, Lord, and that each one will receive. Lord, I pray that we'll go out of this place stronger, Lord, filled with faith. Lord, our hearts turned towards you to live for you and to do your work for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight's message is about us becoming all that God wants us to be. You know, years ago, we used to youth pastor at Grace and kind of started to be a thing with the young people. We had a Trailways bus then, and we would go on these trips, and it started to be a thing where the young people would start saying, "Are we there yet?" You know, we might be going on a 15-hour trip, and they would start this like an hour in. Well, one of the bus drivers, you know, he caught on pretty quick, and so he would just always say 20 minutes. He'll be there in 20 minutes, no matter how far it was. I wasn't that nice. I just said, "Hey, if the bus is still moving, we're not there yet, genius." So anyway, but here's the point. None of us is there yet. We have not arrived. You'll know that you have arrived when you see him face to face. Until then, you ain't there. You still have further to go. I really believe that God is still working in every single one of us, that he's not through with us. There's still more that he wants to do in our lives, in and through our lives. And so we need to always be growing, always reaching forward by faith, pressing on to know him more. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We got to be growing. You're never going to be all he wants you to be unless you keep growing. You're going to miss some of it. But he says, grow in the knowledge, the grace, and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when he says grow in the knowledge, he's not talking about growing your theology. He's not talking about growing in your Bible knowledge. He's talking about growing in your relationship. He's talking about an intimate knowing. Grow in knowing the Lord, in your personal relationship with him. But you got to keep growing in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing in Christ-likeness. Growing in Christian character. Are you getting more like Jesus as you get older? There's been a few movies made about grumpy old men. I think they titled one Grumpier Old Men. And some people just get grumpy when they get older. My mom was one of those that got sweeter as she got older. And I just tell you, though, the Lord Jesus wants us to all be growing in him, all growing in our faith and Christian character. You know, most of us quit growing when we get to be about 18 or 20, at least up, right? Some of us are still growing out. But spiritually, we should never stop growing. We should always be growing up into him, Jesus. I think a lot of believers just kind of get at some point in their spiritual walk, their journey, and they just kind of stall out. Somehow or another, they quit growing. Some get distracted along the way, like we talked about Sunday. They take a detour from their spiritual growth. And sometimes, you know, when people get hurt or disappointed or disillusioned, they become cynical or hard, and it stops their spiritual growth. Sometimes they just get caught up in the busyness of life, just got too many irons in the fire, and they don't realize that they've allowed their job or their hobbies or other things to pull them away from a more intimate relationship with the Lord. Sometimes it's sin, it's bad choices that take them away from the things of the Lord. Sometimes people just take a break. They take a break from the ministry. They take a break from the church. Maybe take a break from their regular devotional time with the Lord. But the point is that for one reason or another, a lot of people just stop growing. I want to tell you, you can tell when somebody's growing spiritually. Now, you can't always just immediately see spiritual growth with the natural eye, but you can see the fruit of it. You can see the results of it. You know, we're all changing. As hard as some of us might try to not change, we're all changing one way or another. We're all becoming something. Nobody just stays the same. I believe this message tonight is to challenge some of us to get up, get back in the race. For some, it's just a word of encouragement to keep going. For some, it's a simple reminder that you're not done, there's more. And for some, it's just to cheer you on. But we got to remember that spiritual growth doesn't happen automatically with age. You know, there's an old joke about you should desire the sincere milk of the word, but we shouldn't have to part your mustache to give you the bottle. You know what I'm saying? Just because somebody has been serving the Lord for 40 years doesn't mean they're growing in the Lord. And I want you to understand that it takes more than just having been around a long time to grow up in the Lord. And we need to make sure that we're maturing in the Lord. Here's a story from John Ortberg in his book, The Life You've Always Wanted. He talks about a man in a church that he once pastored called Denny. His name was Denny. He says Denny was not a happy man. He attended church his whole life, but he had never been happy. Even the expression on his face was perpetually negative, so much so that one time one of the leaders in the church said, "Denny, are you happy?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, tell your face." Well, we've all heard that a time or two, right? Now, one of the many things that Denny didn't approve of was contemporary music in the church, and he complained that the music was too loud, but no one realized how far he would go until one day a man from OSHA showed up. He said, "I'm here because there's been complaints about the volume, the decibels of the music in this church." And they said that once the leaders realized why the man was there, that they and the man from OSHA had a good laugh about it. They knew that Denny was the one that was behind it. But this is what he went on to say in his book about Denny. He says, "Denny is not changing. He is a cranky guy. He's been cranky his whole life, not just about church. He does not effectively know how to love his wife. His children can't tolerate him. He has no joy. He's been going to his church his whole life, 60 years, and nobody in the church is surprised that he stays cranky year after year. It's as if we expect a bad attitude. That's just Denny. Nobody's expecting him to be more like Jesus year after year." And I got to tell you, I've known some Dennys or Denises, or please forgive me if your name is Denny or Denise. But I'm just telling you, it's amazing how there are people that can go to church year after year and be a Christian, and yet they don't become more like Jesus. It doesn't just happen automatic, and we need to see to it that in our own personal lives that we are becoming who God wants us to be, all that He wants us to be, that we're always growing and never satisfied, moving forward. See, there's a lot of believers that are not content, but they're satisfied. They got it backwards. See, we're supposed to be content. Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, whatever my situation. Now notice this, he's talking about his circumstances. He said, I've learned to be content in whatever my situation, whether abundance or not, I've learned to be content. But in the same book, in the same letter, he also says, I have not yet apprehended. I press on for the mark. I'm reaching forward to the things which are before. One thing I'm doing, I'm putting the past behind me, reaching forward to the things which are before. He was never satisfied. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. You see, he was content with his situation. So many people today are never content with their circumstance and their situation. They're always frustrated and agitated, discontent. Paul was content. And so many people today seem to be satisfied with where they are spiritually. And instead, we ought to have that desire for more of him, desire to know him more, and a desire to be more like him, never satisfied. Got to remember, he's not through with us. He's still working on us. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you, notice he's begun, he's not done, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is when Jesus returns. Until Jesus comes back, he's still working on you. He will perform it. He will complete that good work that he's started in you until we see him face to face. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One of these days, we're going to see him in all his glory, and we're going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to all be changed. I'm just telling you. But for now, we are a work in progress that we ought to be growing, changing more and more day by day. From glory to glory, we're being changed. Never get to the place where the Lord is through working in our lives. And you know, we need to be able to tell other people how God is working in our life. Now, it's a good thing to testify about what the Lord did in your life 20 years ago. There's nothing wrong with that. You should do that. The Apostle Paul never got away from his testimony of how the Lord turned him around on the road to Damascus. But if that's the only testimony you got, something's wrong. If you got to go back 5-10 years to tell somebody what God's doing in your life, something's wrong. No, we ought to always have a testimony because God is always working in our life. He's always doing something in us. It's one of the ways you know if you're still growing, because if you're still growing, God's still dealing with you. He's still showing you things. He's still doing miracles in your life and answering prayers. You're still moving forward. We need to be able to testify what God is doing for us now. But we need to also understand that God has more for us. See, sometimes we settle for less than all that God wants to do in our lives. One reason or another, we accept things as they are, accept what is. How's the world say it? It is what it is. Well, they're leaving God out of that equation. We don't just accept things as they are because we know that our God is a miracle-working God. And in our personal lives, when it comes to us, we need to realize that it doesn't have to be just it is what it is, that God has more for us, that he still has a plan for our life, a hope and a future, that we need to be expecting God to do great things in our life. And for some of you, that may be a real challenge. It may really stretch your faith to believe for that, because you might say, well, you know what? I've been stuck in this rut for a long time. But I'm telling you that we need to see that God has more for us. Don't settle. I want to challenge you also to be more Christ-like. I know we got some good husbands in here. Right, ladies? All right. Some of you saying amen by faith. It's good. That's good. We got some good husbands in here. Good husbands. I'm glad you're a good husband. Can you be a better husband? Are you just content with what is? My ladies, the same goes for you. You're a good wife. Can you be an even better wife? Can you be a better father? Are there things, areas in your relationship with your kids? Could you be a better father? Could you be a better mother? Could you be a better employee? Well, maybe if I had a better boss. Could you be a better employer? You see, is there room for growth in your life? Is there room for you to be all that God wants you to be? Or have you settled in? Could you be a better servant of the Lord and be used of Him in a greater measure? Could you maybe reach more people than you are? I hope you understand. The message tonight is not to make you feel condemned that you're not doing something. The message tonight is to challenge us to be all of who God wants us to be. But some of you are going to know where I'm going with this, but you know, let's just say that what if the church didn't just own the property where the gas well sits, but we owned the gas well? And so the pastor got up tonight and he told you, we're going to give $1,000 to every person who brings a visitor this Sunday. Oh, some of you, you'd be thinking, now let's see, if I give them $500, they'll come. But you can't give them any money or gifts. Now, don't raise your hand and don't answer out loud. Could you get somebody to church for $1,000? Some of you thinking, my financial problems are solved. I can get some people to church this Sunday for $1,000 a head. I'll pack this place out. I'll be knocking on my neighbor's door. I'll be talking to people at work. I'll get some people to come to church. I mean, if your life depended on it, you could do it, right? What if their life depended on it? I'm just asking you, could we do better? Have we settled in? Have we just said, you know? Or is there more? Are we really being all that He wants us to be? By the way, He didn't just say, hey, go witness. He said, be witnesses of Me. It's not just doing, it's being what He's called us to be. And I want to challenge you to be all that He has for you, all He wants you to be. Sometimes we just kind of get complacent about things over time and we get accustomed to the way things are and we just decide it's good enough. And listen, here's the sad thing. There are dreams that are left unfulfilled. There's potential that's left unused. What a waste. For some along the way, they just decide this is as good as it gets. Maybe they tried and failed, and so they decide this is the best they can do. But I just want to tell you that God's not through. Really sad when young people decide that their lot in life is less than what God had for them. But all of us need to keep reaching forward for the purpose of God and all he has for us. Philippians 2:13 in the New King James, it says, it is God who works in you. See, he's working in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The NIV says he's working in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. You see, if we don't keep moving forward, there are things that God had for us that we'll never achieve. There's a purpose that we're supposed to fulfill. I love this in the NIV, Acts 13:36 says this about David. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. See, when did David die? When he had fulfilled God's purpose in his time. And you know what? That ought to be each of our goal, that we have done everything God wanted us to do. We were all that he wanted us to be. Fulfilled that purpose, that we didn't leave any potential left. We gave it our all. Jesus tells a parable about the end times, and he talks about how the servant that was still working, when he comes back, he says, blessed is the one that's still doing. And I just got to tell you, all of us are supposed to still be moving forward, still working, still going for the Lord. You might retire from a job, but you don't retire from serving God. In fact, when you retire from a job, you just got more free time to serve God and just to be more involved. That's the way it ought to be. I want to tell you tonight, too, though, that there's a purpose in your life that matters to other people, that makes a difference to other people. Maybe the Lord wants you to be in full-time ministry. Maybe he wants you to make a lot of money to help the church reach the world. Maybe he wants you in your current job, in your current situation, to minister to others in a way that's beyond your imagination. Maybe he just wants to raise you up in a special way for a special time and purpose. But you need to realize that with God, all things are possible. Don't limit the Lord working in your life and what he has for you. And know this, that every one of you has gifts and abilities that God has put inside of you. You're valuable to God. Think about this. He bought you with the precious blood of Jesus, not with silver or gold, but the precious blood of Christ. How valuable you must be to God. He didn't purchase you to have you do nothing, to have you achieve nothing, and to have you be nothing. No, he has a plan, a purpose for your life. And oh, how we need to be reaching for that. This challenge is for us to be all he wants us to be, because then we can do what he wants us to do and fulfill that purpose of God in our life. One of the things I think we need to always remember, I've said this already, but I want you to see the verse in Romans 8:29. One of the things that's always supposed to happen in our life is that we are being conformed into the image of Jesus. Well, it's one of my frustrations at times in my life and disappointments at times that I'm not more like Jesus, but by the grace of God, his grace working in us, we ought to be becoming more like him every day. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And we read it earlier, there's coming a day when we see him that we'll all be changed. But I believe that even in this life, we're to constantly be becoming more like Jesus every day. There's a story in Judges about a man with a great call on his life, and he had to change the way he saw himself to become the man that God called him to be. And again, I want to say it's not just about doing, it's about being the man, the woman that God wants you to be. It's Judges chapter 6. I'm talking about Gideon. God used Gideon to deliver his people out of the hand of the Midianites. The Lord spoke to Gideon in Judges 6, 12 and 13. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our forefathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So the angel of the Lord calls him a mighty man of valor, a mighty warrior. And he tells him, "The Lord's with you." Now Gideon's response is that if God is with us, then why has all this bad stuff happened to us? The Lord has just abandoned us. And I want you to know, sometimes we go through things that we don't understand. We wonder, why has the Lord allowed this to happen? Hear that preacher's up here telling me that I can be this and I need to do that, and he doesn't know where I've been or what I've been through. And sometimes we just don't see what God sees, and we don't understand how that God is able to turn it all around. And so often that he takes the very things that have been hardship and difficulty for us, and he, in his sovereign grace and power, is able to work those things together for our good. Could it be that through that fiery trial that God has made you more mature, that he's made you more complete? It's James chapter 1, 2 through 4. That trial, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into different trials, because that trial, the trying of your faith, is going to bring about perseverance in you, and let perseverance have its work in you, that you may be complete, mature, lacking nothing. And I'm just telling you that a lot of the time, you know, we want to focus on the bad things that have happened and my situation and why is it like this and why. But I'm just telling you that God knows what he's doing. And you need to realize that in the midst of a terrible situation, you might be in a bad situation. Listen, God can raise you up and use you to help other people. What an amazing thing. Verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you?'" Well, we've been called and sent too, haven't we, church? "So he said to him, 'Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" He said, "How can I? I'm from a sorry family, and I'm the sorriest person in my family." Now, I want to tell you something. His attitude had to change. But I also want you to see this, that this man, in the natural, There was no pride, no arrogance about how he could do it himself. No, it took faith. And he knew that in himself it was impossible. We'll come back to that later. But I want you to see this. If you're going to reach your potential, then like Gideon, you got to know that with God all things are possible. You got to stop making excuses and believe God. You got to do away with the fear of failure and instead trust God. Just like Gideon, for you to be all God wants you to be, you got to walk by faith. You never get there just looking at things in the natural, but you got to trust God. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I really believe this. Listen, if God's in it, there's going to be an element of faith because he wants us trusting in him. Sometimes you just got to be willing to step out in faith. Second, Gideon needed an attitude change. He was focused on all of the bad things that had happened. Why has the Lord let all this happen to us? If his God is with us, then why has all this happened to us? He was focused on all of the negatives. But he was also focused on the weakness of his own self and the weakness of his family instead of on the strength, the power of God. He had to change his attitude. Gideon goes into this spill about how he's a loser, but he didn't see how that God was going to make him that mighty man of valor. He had to have an attitude change. And I want you to know, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that need an attitude change. You need to get your eyes off of all the bad things that have happened, instead back onto a mighty God who can do absolutely anything. And you need to quit talking about your own weaknesses and failures and instead focus on the grace of God and the mighty God who's called you and the mighty God who can raise you up and use you. You know, I preach these verses from Ephesians chapter 4. It's verse 22 through 24. And I talk about these verses a lot when we talk about living as a new creature in Christ. But I want you to consider these verses in being all who God wants you to be. He says, put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now the NIV in verse 23, it says, be made new in the attitude of your mind. But it's that spirit of your mind, it's that attitude. You got to have a new attitude. And I'm just telling you that for a lot of believers, if they're going to be all that God wants them to be, they got to put off that old life. They got to put on the new, but there in the middle is that new attitude. You got to change the way you think. Change the way you think about yourself. Change the way you, listen, you need to realize you're a new creation in Christ. That God has created you for certain things and that he wants to use you. You're not the same old you. You're a new improved you. Change, not just improved, but radically changed. Like this verse from Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Another translation says, be clothed. Now, it's not just a put on. It's not just, you know, we're the same old thing. We're just putting Jesus on the outside. We're not just putting a smile on our face and pretending. But he's talking about that we actively are putting on Jesus Christ, that we're making it a point to be like Jesus. Did you put Jesus on today? Or did you put Denny on today? See, you got to put Jesus on every day. Got to have that new attitude. Today, I have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control today. I'm ready for whatever comes my way. I'm ready to make a difference. I'm ready to be Jesus to somebody, to help somebody. Got to have a different attitude. Third, we got to be willing to change. Listen, all change is not growth, but all growth is change. And if you're going to grow, I'm telling you, you got to be willing to change. Gideon changed his attitude and mindset. He changed the way he talked. He changed his actions, I'm telling you. And he went from being a negative, complaining whiner to being a leader and a mighty man of valor and being used of God to help people. We got to change the way we see ourselves and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now, we have a testimony, church, as a church. Because, you know, there were a lot of people that saw this church as a dying church. There's a lot of people that saw this church as just a little old struggling church, just kind of here, but not ever going to make a difference. But that's not who we are. But I got to tell you, this is not when I started seeing us as a church that's reaching people. And I know for many of you too, this is not when you started seeing us as a church that's making a difference. You saw this when other people just saw us as a little struggling, dying church. No, you see, we got to have those eyes of faith and see what God wants to do in our future. And we're just getting started, church. I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that need the Lord, and they're just waiting for us to reach out to them. I really believe that. But we got to keep growing. We got to be who God wants us to be. Our attitude and our mindset, the way we think about ourselves and about what God wants to do, it's so important. We can't have an attitude of defeat and failure or self-pity, but instead we got to have our eyes on God and believing and trusting Him, being new in our mind. You know what? There's a lot of useless religion in this world. You know how you know? Well, the Bible says in James 1:26, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And what I'm saying to you is that if we're going to be all God wants us to be, we got to change our attitude, but we got to change the way we talk too. Gideon was saying all kinds of negative things. You got to stop that. Close your mouth. If you can't say something good, it don't say nothing at all. Amen? I'm telling you, sometimes I manage to do that. I just keep my mouth shut, and things usually go better. By the way, Proverbs says, where there's many words, sin is not absent. Some people say, I just like to talk. Oh, my goodness, you are in trouble. But anyway, can you believe a preacher would say that? Anyway, moving along, you got to make up your mind that you're going to be willing to change. See, how can you become all that He wants you to become? I want to back up here the very beginning where we started talking about Gideon. And I said he was humble. Because he knew that in his own self, he could not do it. It's amazing how God raises up the humble. It's real similar to Moses' story. When the Lord calls Moses from the burning bush, he says, I can't. Who am I? I can't even speak. When he first called King Saul, King Saul was hiding. And the Lord later, when King Saul had risen up in pride, the prophet reminded Saul You saw yourself as little in your own eyes when he called him. And here's the point I want to make to you. If you want to be all that God wants you to be, you can't ever let yourself become prideful. You got to stay humble. Because, listen, that's James 4:10. He lifts up the humble. Nebuchadnezzar said, he abases the proud. I just want to tell you, if you want to be all God wants you to be, you got to stay humble before the Lord and realize that he'll use you if you're humble. That means you give him all the glory. That means that you're not just trying to do things in the arm of the flesh. You're not just doing it your own way, but you're trusting God. You're leaning on him, and you know that he gets all the glory. Don't ever let yourself fall into that trap of pride somewhere along the way. So many people have missed all God has for them. Well, it started a really, really long time ago. Do you realize that even Lucifer himself was created to be a beautiful angel to lead the worship of heaven? But he's not all that God wanted him to be because he rebelled against God in pride. And I just got to tell you, you got to stay humble before the Lord if you want to be all he wants you to be. You got to be willing to have that attitude of faith. Keep your attitude right. Keep your words right. And be willing to change. You see, maybe you need to make a new devotional habit. Maybe you need to change how you spend some of your time. Maybe you need to make a change in the people that you hang out with. Maybe you need to pursue a dream and go back to school or a career change, or maybe there's some step of faith you need to take. But I'm telling you, many times, if we're going to continue to grow, we got to be willing to change something in our life. Why don't you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, I know in this body of believers there is such great potential. Lord, I know that there's great callings and giftings. And I pray, Father, that you would just breathe fresh wind upon those giftings and callings that are without repentance. Father, I pray that you would just speak to hearts tonight and do a work in us. Lord, I know that some need healing and restoration, that some need strength and courage like Gideon did. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you just work in us, Lord, that we might fulfill all that you have for us. I pray, Father, that each and every person tonight, Lord, will know that God has a plan for them. Lord, that you are at work in their lives. And Father, I just pray that through it all, Lord, that you would be glorified in us. Oh, Father, that our lives be lived to your glory each and every day. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. I'd like for you to just go out blessed of the Lord and listen, bless one another, encourage one another. But if you need special prayer tonight, I myself or other prayer partners would be glad to pray with you. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.